But here in Texas, we expect people to pull their own weight. When you get tapped on the shoulder, please honor the call to jury service. My name is Chris Daniel, your Harris County District Clerk, and I look forward to seeing you at the courthouse.
This is KPFT Houston.
You bring forth a very famous quote, which is that of Henry Kissinger.
Right.
Which says, control the oil and you control nations, control the food and you control the people.
Thanks to all who lend support when people threaten me with court. They try to persecute me for the goodies I produce. One day I spliced a couple jeans. I seen this vision in a dream. Isn't this the beauty? It came right to me.
Monsanto, bad scientists set loose. You want wicked, I got the whole kit and caboose. The trees and the bees are extinct, your daughter's died. I got the food, it's genetically modified. Yummy, yummy, good for your tummy. Frankenstein, bovine, and make me mad money. I slice a lightning bug gene with bull semen. Produce enough beef to keep the whole world screaming.
Hello, hello, everyone out there listening to us on the airwaves and online. Welcome to the Houston Indie Media Show. On this week's show, we will be talking about the agricultural biotechnology multinational corporation, Monsanto, which is the largest producer of genetically engineered, or GE, seeds. We are joined in studio by Anthony, who is part of the March Against Monsanto that is happening in Houston and worldwide tomorrow.
Ivy.
Can you start off, Anthony, by giving information to our listeners about the march tomorrow and to our listeners and let them know why they should be there?
Yeah, so the march is a worldwide march, and this particular event is going on in Houston on the corner of Post Oak and Westheimer. It's at 1 o'clock, and some people will be there early, and it should wrap up around 3 o'clock tomorrow.
We had a chance to talk with you prior to the show, Anthony, and I think one of the things that a lot of us don't really know is the what is Monsanto? What's a little bit of the history of that company? You know, I think we can all agree that
Frankenfood is bad.
Yes, and absolutely, that we don't want them living next door to us. That they're the bad guys and women on the block. They are not generally considered, I guess, a good corporate neighbor, but you know, what is a little bit of the concrete history of that company? Maybe you could share some of that with
us. Sure. So Monsanto, they're known for DDT, Agent Orange, also aspartame, RGBH, which is a growth hormone in milk, which is now taken out of a lot of milk's products. And then they also have the GMO side as well, which is in foods. And what the GMOs are for is they're to produce foods that may not be able to survive in a cold environment. So what they would do is they would insert a gene from a fish that lives in a cold environment, and then they would put that in a strawberry product, and that would be able to grow in a country that would not be able to grow strawberries at that time at the season.
Right. And I guess the reason I wanted to spend just a little bit of time on this, because I think it's really important to understand the history of this company and the footprint that it's left behind. Maybe you could touch just real briefly on Agent Orange. What is it, and what are some of the effects that we see today because of the use of Agent Orange, and when was it used? You know, we have a lot of listeners that probably have heard Agent Orange but don't know when it was first used, where, and what are we now seeing as the result of the use of Agent Orange?
So actually, yeah, you probably have more background on the Agent Orange than I would in terms of where it was used. You know, I believe it was Vietnam that they would spray it there.
Right.
Is that correct? So I know that that's caused a lot of health issues with people who were in the war at the time. Of Agent Orange.
Right. And what was the purpose of that? Yeah, I guess I'll jump in and kind of my understanding was that it was a way to just destroy vast amount of
foliage and jungle area to be able to better see the bombing targets.
Exactly. And what happened was, and if you go back and look at I think one of the best movies about the Vietnam War and the experiences with Apocalypse Now, and there's a scene in there where this Agent Orange is being dropped, and all these GIs are just engulfed in this stuff. And I think now a lot of Vietnam vets my age that had the misfortune of coming in close contact with that are now paying the price for that.
It's caused nerve damage. It's caused higher rates of type 2 diabetes. It's also caused birth defects. And John kind of kicked the ball over to me because my father actually is a disabled vet who is currently and has suffered for roughly 15 years the effects of Agent Orange and also the effects of trying to get disability from the government as a result of the health issues because they did begin to surface so far after his two tours in Vietnam. So that is definitely one now. But also, you have a very personal connection with Monsanto as far as when you started asking questions about this corporation and about, you mentioned GMOs or genetically modified foods.
Correct. So, you know, to your point, the same company that created Agent Orange mm-hmm. is now creating GMOs in our food. So that's, you know, that's a reason to raise a red flag. And what brought me into the awareness or about Monsanto as a company is at the time, back in 2011, my girlfriend had passed away of brain cancer. And so at the time I was doing research, finding out just natural cures and causes of cancer. And that's when I was reading up about Monsanto and the potential risks of, you know, just genetically modified foods. And that's how I became aware. So since about 2011 to now is when I started to get involved with raising awareness and understanding now that their goal is to not have it labeled, yet it's banned in so many countries or, you know, it has restrictions. So why not in the U.S.?
Yeah. And you know, on a number of issues, that is one thing that has always stood out with me is that why when an issue usually around food or products that we as individuals use on a daily basis in some way is allowed here in the U.S., but yet other countries don't allow them. And if that's not a warning sign that maybe folks ought to kind of slow down and look at this question and try to understand, well, wait a minute. There are dozens of countries that don't allow this, that require this. Well, you know, whatever it is, in this case, GMOs, why are we doing it here?
Absolutely.
And maybe you could kind of, you know, one of the flyers that you brought talking about Kellogg and some of their products. And what does that mean?
And none of us go to the grocery store and see Monsanto or GMO stamped on any of our food. And that's a very purposeful thing. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Correct. So, you know, the corporations that are producing these foods, you know, such as Kellogg's, and I know GMO Free USA is another organization. They've actually done their own independent testing on Fruit Loops and other products to find that there are GMOs in them. And a lot of places and food companies are actually labeling themselves. So while it's not required, there's actually an increase in companies that are, you know, labeling it. You may see that it says non-GMO Project Verified.
Yeah, I see it especially a lot in some dairy products. Mm-hmm. I see it on eggs and I guess milk and, you know, starting to see it a little bit more and more. Mm-hmm. But it's just a shame that it takes it a while, you know, and it's so slow. And
absolutely.
So, you know, looking at the whole issue, where do you see the main, I guess, struggle? The main, where's the main battle line being drawn on this question of GMOs? Because, like we talked about before the show, there are so many aspects to this question. There is the issue of the effects on the ground, on the farms, and the issues there, the issues as consumers with different products. So where are we seeing a lot of the struggle to try and deal with this?
So you can take it to any level, whether it's the farming or, you know, on the agricultural side, having to use more pesticides or having to buy Monsanto's patented seeds, since every year you have to get new ones. And then there's also those farmers who have Monsanto crops that cross-pollinate over to another farmer's land, and now they end up getting sued by them because they have
patented
seed.
Wasn't there a couple of big cases not too long ago where a couple of farmers, and I do not remember what state, but that happened, and there was this intense legal battle?
Yeah, they're constantly, you know, going after farmers for that. And there's plenty of videos out there. If you watch the documentaries, you'll see that there's farmers who have documented their history with them and having to deal with the legal side of it.
And the farmers have lost all those legal cases.
Correct.
So can you talk a little bit about, like, the whole idea of patenting seeds has only been around since, I believe, 1980?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Can you explain that process? It doesn't seem to make sense. How can one patent a seed?
And that's what everyone, you know, is wondering. How can you patent life that way, you know? And they put it out there as a product. So if you want to buy their product that they claim you don't have to use as much pesticide because it has a pesticide built in, or it will reduce the amount that you should put on. However, a lot of farmers have found that it actually increases pesticides, or there's new superbugs that come out due to the effect of that, you know, the outcome.
And also, what is the effect in terms of, I know some of these other neighboring farms, what is the effect on some of the small farmer, for example, that's still trying to just grow food, maybe to take to the farmer's market or even just to subsist for him or herself and their family? What are some of the effects if, for example, you live next to one of these larger Monsanto patented seed sort of operations?
So if the wind carries it or some pollinator carries their seed into their farm, it'll you know, contaminate what they have there already, and you have to either start fresh or you know, find a way to completely eliminate that.
Yeah, I think we're at a point. Maybe you can give folks a couple of resources where they can go to find out what your organization is involved in and find out a little bit more about some of the things that we've been talking about.
Sure. So you guys may know already that Chipotle, the fast food company, has gone GMO-free recently. I don't know if you guys have eaten there or if you mm-hmm. eat there. So they're one of the first ones, I think the only one, that is now GMO-free. So that's a place that I like to frequent a lot personally. So I guess the organization March Against Monsanto is worldwide, and then there's been a lot of organizations that have branched off from it. So there is the Bee Against Monsanto, which focuses on the honeybees, and that's where the whole GMO argument comes into play. So if there's lack of food, that's where the GMOs will cover for that in undeveloped companies or in countries. So if there's a lack of food being produced by the honeybees and monarch butterflies and other pollinators, then that's something to be conscious of as well.
And you mentioned that. Can you talk a little bit more about the decrease in the bee population and some of those sorts of things that we've seen recently as a result of the chemicals and the pesticides that many are using?
Correct. So the neonicotinoids, that's actually one of Bayer's big products, is it acts like as nicotine, really, and it creates the receptors, and it affects the nerves of the insects. And like anything with GMOs, they say that it doesn't affect humans as it does the insects. But we all have seen the increase in disease and cancer rise, and particularly in the U.S. So something is attributing to that.
And you mentioned the rise in cancer statistics, and you also mentioned that when your girlfriend at the time passed away several years ago, that's when you sort of began on this journey researching about the increase in cancer and so forth and how it ties to corporations like Monsanto. Can you share a little bit maybe about like what were some of your ahas on that journey?
Yeah, so and it's unfortunate that a lot of people aren't awake to the issue until it affects them personally, whether like you were saying with the Agent Orange, personally with you. So I think a lot of times, you know, people, once they find out, they can't go back, you know, once you open your eyes to it. So, you know, just doing research, going online, Googling, watching videos, that helps a lot to find out. So not saying Monsanto was responsible for the cancer. However, you know, it certainly didn't help.
Yeah, there's a lot of growth hormones and a lot of other things. Now, the other thing is, of course, you mentioned Chipotle being a GMO-free company. What are some other companies or some other products that have gone GMO-free? And also, let's say I'm a starving college student listening to KPFT. What are my options if I want to try to minimize my intake of Frankenfood?
So the best thing, you know, obviously, is to check out your local farmers markets and support them as well. Grow your own food. That's great. You know, that's like growing your own money. But then just eating non-GMO, it doesn't have to be organic, but you know, limiting the amount of chemicals. You know, if you look on the back of something and you see 30 different chemicals, some you can't even pronounce, well, it's not something that your body is really going to want in it. I think just a lot of the food has become cheap now. And because of that, our bodies have suffered from that.
Okay. I've also heard when you go to the grocery store, if you shop, you know, it's not always whole paycheck or Whole Foods, but even if you go to a regular grocery store and you just kind of try to stay on the outside where your fruits and vegetables and other products are that aren't necessarily genetically modified or aren't in a can and those sorts of things.
Less processed. So yeah, they say shop the perimeter, you know, because in the middle is all the processed box foods that have a long shelf life.
What are some of the companies that we should stay away from?
Companies in terms of brands or products?
In terms of brands of food.
You mentioned Kellogg.
Kellogg, yeah. They're all guilty of it, really. It's unfortunate. And one thing I like, actually, when I moved out here to Houston last year is H-E-B's is a local grocery store here, and they have their H-E-B Organics brand. So whether you want to save money and purchase the store brand, it's great that they have that option. Instead of buying the brand name that has the official non-GMO labeling. And
I think something else to watch out for is like those pre-packaged, pre-sliced fruit and how they don't turn brown.
Correct. So there is the Arctic apple that just came out, which doesn't brown when it's oxidized. And, you know, a lot of people, they want to see that shiny apple. They want to see that it's not brown, you know, after so long after you cut it. However, you know, it's almost a preservative. So, you know, that's not good for your body. It's kind of like MSG, which you see now. There's signs, you know, no MSG or, you know, it's banned to a point.
We had a guest, I think last year, from the Marcus Garvey Garden, who informed us that really when you find a fruit that might have like a little bruise or something like that, that's probably the fruit that you should pick, or fruit or vegetable, whatever. It's probably the one you should pick because it's developed some kind of like defense or immunity to whatever affected it.
Correct. And, you know, a lot of times you want to eat the outside of the fruit. That's where a lot of the nutrition is. But if the outside of it is contaminated with pesticides, you're not going to want to put that in your body, you know. So typically, if it's not organic, I'll peel it if that's the case, if it's conventional, hopefully not GMO. And there is, they say, the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. So there's 15 products that, if you look it up, they're okay if they're not organic, you know. And then there's the Dirty Dozen, where if it's strawberries or something porous like that, berries, where, you know, it absorbs those chemicals easier. You want to get those organic as much as possible. There's also apps that you can purchase, or you can download on your phone. It'll show you the corporations that when you scan the barcode at the grocery store, it'll actually show you whether it's funded by a Monsanto company or another company that is for the non-labeling side of it. So we march to get the label. Of course, we love it banned, but at least give us a label.
Could you, can you remember the names of some of these apps?
There's one called Bicot, B-U-I-C-O-T-T, I believe. And there's others. So if you just type it in the Android or the Apple Store, you'll see it. So, yeah, particularly at the march, though, my goal is to not only just have everybody out there. It is a peaceful protest. You know, it's all kinds of people. It's family friendly. And it's getting people to raise awareness around us. People who may be driving by or walking that don't know about it, instead of just coming out for the event, hanging out, and then going back home. So it's a great way to network it with everyone, see what people are doing in the community, whether they're farmers, there's beekeepers, schools. You know, I know that, you know, the nutritional lunches at schools, you know, isn't that great.
They're lacking.
Exactly. So
she's being kind.
You know, not everybody has the ability to pack a lunch or pack a nutritious lunch.
Well, and the issue is, number one, there is the issue of if you qualify for free and reduced lunch, which means that your family is making less than $25,000 a year, a family of four. But then also, even if you don't qualify for those and you do have a school age child, I'm sure many listeners can attest to it. For whatever reason, your child wants the chicken fingers and some of the things, because they also sell food that is, in that line, very appealing to children. And if you happen to go to a school where you have, or your child goes to school where there are many people who are going through the line, whether they choose to or are doing so out of necessity. And so then there's also kind of this collective peer pressure where you don't want to be one of the three kids that goes and sits at the table when everybody else. I remember when my daughter started school, she asked me in pre-K, "Mom, when can I go through the garage door?" Because, you know, they were the first to eat, so they would open up the big metal door. And it took me a while to realize what that was. So there's also that issue, too, that we as parents grapple with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that that I give a lot of thought to is the fact that there are so many issues involved when you start talking about, for the moment, you know, food safety and what that means, that it really is hard, and this society makes it very hard for us to you know, live a healthy lifestyle. The selections at times are limited. The selections are limited depending on where you live. The options are not there for everyone on an equal basis. And very often, to do the kinds of things that we would all like to do, that we're, you know, listening to you talk about, It's almost where we're looking at a class privilege, almost, to be able to afford to do that. But I think that it's maybe not to get overwhelmed by it all, that we need to realize, you know, maybe I can't afford to buy everything organic. You know, I've got a family of four to feed, not making a ton of money like a lot of folks at Whole Foods do. But that, you know, there are small steps that we can take. And I hope that folks don't get real discouraged by the situation. Yeah, maybe you can't do it all right now, but that doesn't mean that we can't address these issues. Because if we address the issues and deal with questions like labeling, I think a lot of the other things will happen that will benefit a whole lot of folks if we can address the issue of labeling and GMO, then we can.
One of those small steps that you could take is go to the march tomorrow. If you want to give
exactly
our listeners that information again, please, Anthony.
Absolutely. So it's tomorrow at 1 p.m. And we're meeting right there on the corner where the Starbucks is. The address is 2521 Post Oak Boulevard. And what we'll do is, you know, some people, they may just want to stand there with the sign. They may want to pass out flyers that we have. We have at least 4,000 flyers that we'll be able to hand out.
And I don't want anyone to be surprised about parking.
Absolutely, and there's plenty of parking. So the mall is right there, and one of the reasons we chose that area is because, you know, the Galleria being the eighth largest mall in the U.S. is a great way to get a lot of people, you know, on the shopping weekend.
But I do have to caution people, some of those little strip center malls right there, those of you that are seasoned activists, this is a popular corner, this Post Oak and Westheimer, they are starting to put signs and they are starting to tow people. So if you do go to the march tomorrow, park in the Galleria parking garage. Don't park in either of those little strip centers, because that the last few times I've been out there, they have actually towed from those smaller strip centers, unless you go in the Starbucks or in one of those stores and then you're a patron. So that is another option for those of you that are interested in attending tomorrow. Very quickly, one last question. I know we only have a few minutes left. I want to ask about soy and how that ties in, because a lot of people eat a lot of, and I was guilty of it too at moments in my life, soy loni, soy cheese, and all of that is genetically modified. How healthy is that?
So that, you know, is another one of their large products. So, you know, corn is their largest and then soy is right after it. And so, you know, a lot of people choose the soy option as an alternative, whether you're vegan or you you just want to choose another alternative. Really, I don't know what the effects of that, if it's good or bad.
Nobody knows. That's the problem. Well,
even if it's organic, you know, I think everything in moderation, of course.
Okay, thank you so much. And as we just have a few minutes left, first of all, as we've been talking about, there is the March Against Monsanto tomorrow, and that's going to be at 1 p.m. at the corner of Post Oak and Westheimer. You can also check out March Against Monsanto's Facebook page. And in addition, while you're out and about after the Monsanto protest, or maybe before, you can check out the 36th Annual Pan-African Cultural Festival. That's also happening tomorrow at Alabama and Live Oak, and that will be happening from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the Shape Community Center, 3815 Live Oak. And in addition to some of the events that are happening, there is an open drum call. There's 20 community drummers calling villagers to come partake in this celebration. Several performances, great food and vendors, lots of fun activities for kids, and also the African Children's Film Festival. This is, like the Monsanto protest, a family-friendly event.
And if you haven't heard yet about Houston Food Not Bombs, this is a group of volunteers sharing free vegan and vegetarian food with hungry people in Houston and promoting peace. So if you want to help, come down to 521 Lamar, which is the downtown library courtyard, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 7. Bring vegan food or just bring yourself, and bowls and spoons are provided.
And very quickly, I just want to give a real quick moment to share our deepest sympathy and thoughts with our collective member, Courtney, whose mother passed away this last week. And Courtney, I don't know if you're listening or not, but our thoughts are with you, and we're thinking about you, and hope you're doing as well as can be expected under the circumstances.
Okay, thank you for that. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in, whether you're a first-time or long-time listener. We appreciate it. I'm Rachel, signing off, giving a shout-out to Jacob and V, our board ops for the revolution, and reminding everyone out there, don't hate the media, be the media. Peace.
Franklin Foods, people keep yelling. They don't want to consume the miracle I'm selling. Good for them, they have no choice. I bought their congressmen, they have no voice. Just the facsimile thereof. Don't it seem so real now? Show mad love. It's all been carefully constructed for you. Don't resist now, please, there's not much as you can do.
Come on, farmers, don't try to resist. My GMO is windborne, all it takes is just a kiss. So try to understand, try to understand. Try to understand. We gotta have your life.
Hi, I'm Chris Daniel, your Harris County District Clerk. Firefighters head into burning buildings while everyone heads out. Police officers put on protective vests each day at work. Members of the military are stationed in harm's way. What do they all have in common? They serve when called upon. Everyday folks like yourselves are called upon to occasionally perform a different role, jury service. A key principle of our nation is that our Constitution guarantees the right to be tried by the impartial jury. The Founding Fathers wisely understood that questions of liberty
ought to rest with average citizens, not the government or one official. With people like you and your neighbors on juries, justice can be done. In a big city, you can easily start thinking, I'll just let the other guy across town go in for jury service. Nobody will miss me if I don't come. But here in Texas, we expect people to pull their own weight.